League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gal building overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. We roll on here tonight. There's a lot of Dynamo news going on right now, so no better thing to do than bring on the Dynamo Radio play-by-play man. He also heads up and does a tremendous amount of great work down at the field on a daily basis on the marketing and PR side. He's the one and only Matt Peterson. Matt, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Great to be on, Glenn.
All right, so you were in San Jose, and you had the vantage point of seeing what may be the best Dynamo road win of the year. Before we get specific, let's just get your general thoughts on calling that game that night in Avaya Stadium, which is absolutely gorgeous. But what was even more gorgeous was a great Dynamo performance.
Yeah, Glenn, it was great. You know, I'm from that area, grew up in Dublin, and a Quakes fan growing up, and now a huge Dynamo fan, of course, and my number one. But to see that Avaya Stadium opened, and my parents were at the game, and to go from Spartan Stadium to Buckshaw now to that was just awesome. And Dynamo sponsors traveled. Dynamo fans were picked by sponsors. So it was a good traveling contingent that ended up in a suite right behind the Dynamo bench. So they offered some good support. But I thought it was a great start for the Dynamo. I think when they're pressing high, especially on the road like they did in Toronto and some other places that have been the result, it's always a good sign. They have the energy early. And then Alexander Lopez on the left side, good service with his right foot. And Ricardo Clark, who's become the main target on set pieces, that was from the run of play, but a big goal, and they closed it out late. So I thought a great performance away from home.
Let me go back to the pressing high thing, because when you looked at the midfield that Owen Coyle put out, you might say that may not be the most pressing of midfields with Alex Lima and Alex Lopez. But at the end of the day, these two guys had very important games, played very well. This is what the Dynamo wanted, and Owen Coyle out of Alex Lima coming over from Chicago, a guy that's very versatile, a guy that could potentially be an outside back in the RSL game. We don't know. Boniac Garcia comes back because, look, there's no Corey Ash. DeMarcus Beasley's gone. It could be Raul Rodriguez going to an outside back position again. But speak to me a little bit about Alex Lima and Alex Lopez, because with real opportunity, these guys have grown.
Yeah, they've been great. And I think what happened on Friday was, and this isn't any knowledge of the scouting report, but I think the outside backs for San Jose aren't the best on the ball. Marvell Wynn, for all of his skill and for all of his pace and athleticism, isn't the best with the ball at his feet. Neither is Sean Francis. And I think the Dynamo may have said, hey, let's press these guys, see how they do it. And they forced a lot of turnovers coming out of the back. But I think it was a perfect setup for the Dynamo. They shifted Brad Davis to the middle. They put Lima on the left, and they put Alexander Lopez on the right, and those guys are very interchangeable, as you know. And I thought it was a little bit surprising, just one defensive midfielder from Dominic Kinnear and the Earthquakes, used with Ty Alashe, who covers a lot of ground. But I think the Dynamo faced so many two defensive mid setups, like in Portland and Dallas, and it really set up well for the Dynamo midfield to have a good day.
Yeah, I think it's pretty rare in the modern game now that you only see one holding midfield, to be real fair. I mean, you see it on occasion, but it's almost become a position that's shared to protect the back four. And I thought the Dynamo had the chances in this game, Matt, more road chances than they had in any game all year.
Yeah, it was probably their best performance since Toronto, when, again, they had good energy to start. And, you know, in my opinion, no disrespect from Toronto, but that was probably the softest midfield I'd seen all year. And this one for San Jose was very attack-minded. You know, Niasse can run well, and Tommy Thompson has good skill in the ball. Matias Perez-Garcia is a great player. But compared to the bruising nature of Dallas and Portland, I think it was a welcome change for the Dynamo against the Quakes.
Dynamo seemed the more organized team. They certainly seemed the more alive. They seemed to want this game more than San Jose. That's the one thing that really I thought was wonderful with a number of different players there. You're missing four internationals. That you had this a real sense of urgency that really came through the TV screen to me while I watched it in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I think, you know, I'm with the team and I'm around it, but I'm out in that huddle on the day before the game when Owen Coyle, Sandy Stewart, Wade Barrett, and the coaching staff is given the instructions. I don't know what the instructions were, but I think there was a lot of motivation to play in this one. One, playing against Dominic Kinnear, who coached the team for 9 years, and many of these players, and who came to Houston and won on May 5th. So trying to get some revenge on the road. I also think, you know, Brad Davis probably upset he's not on the Gold Cup team with his injury. DeMarcus Beasley knows it's his last game with the Dynamo for a little while as he heads off to the quarterfinals. Alex Lopez is looking at the Honduras team not playing well in the Gold Cup, and he probably thinks he should be there. So you have a midfield and a back line, guys like Kofi Sarkodie, a point to prove, Nathan Sturgis getting a chance to play for the first time in a while. Got a lot of guys in that group with a lot to prove.
Yeah, well, Honduras crashed out of the Gold Cup, and I'll tell you, that was a very either tired, fatigued, unmotivated group. And you know, it's Pinto, the coach that came over from Costa Rica, who did so well in the World Cup with that team, getting them to the quarterfinals and you know, getting wins over teams like Italy. They drew England, they beat Uruguay. Just really a disappointing effort from Honduras in the Gold Cup, and Alexander Lopez's energy, based on what I saw from Los Catrachos, could have been used in the Gold Cup for sure. Costa Rica also has really kind of stammered along under Paulo Wanchope. So we'll see if some of these teams morph into something different. Matt Peterson joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. He is a Dynamo play-by-play man. Also, you had the ability to go down and call on TV the Houston Dash Chicago game with all the Women's World Cup stars coming back, Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, and, of course, Morgan Bryan. Talk about what that day was like. I know the result put a damper on it, but it was still quite the show there with 13,000 fans at BBVA Compass Stadium.
Yeah, Glenn, it was great. You know, arriving at the stadium around 4:30, it felt like a Dynamo game. There was, you know, high-priced parking, and I don't know what was going on in the East End on that day, but the Bud Light Beer Garden had a vibe when people arrived early. It was a Sunday night game at 7:30, so I think people could get there early. It definitely felt like an event. We found out about 6 o'clock the national team players wouldn't be playing, which was definitely a disappointment, but we understand where they're coming from. And I think it's a balance of, do they want to get injured for one big homecoming or be ready to go for the rest of the 9 games plus the reunion tour? But, yeah, I think Chicago is probably the best team in the NWSL this year. They have a really good core. Most of their team is 24 under, and they've had the best probably health this year in the NWSL. Their entire starting 11 has basically been together all season since the World Cup started. And it was a good night for Chicago, and the Dash struggled. I think in the midfield they really struggled because they have a few players playing out of position, and Chicago has a really good dynamic team. But I think it was a big night. I think a lot of fans were disappointed by the U.S. World Cup winners not playing, but I think they did as much as they could by doing the on-field ceremony before the game and at halftime, and then many of them stuck around after and signed autographs for up to an hour, including the Red Stars players. We saw Kristen Press, Julie Johnston, taking selfies, signing autographs and stuff. So it wasn't a showcase on the field, but off the field and on the microphone, they did all they could.
Was this about celebrity soccer or the Dash?
I think it was about celebrity soccer. I think they wanted to see Carly Lloyd and Megan Klingenberg and Morgan Bryan and, you know, welcome them back. I think some said, hey, the Dash, they're in our backyard, let's go see it. We'll see the remaining 4 games, how attendance does and how much people want to support the Dash. I think, you know, you had a good mixed crowd. I saw a lot of men in the crowd. I saw a decent amount of boys and men, and I think that's a good sign. But I think people wanted to welcome back the World Cup winners. I think it was more about the World Cup winners than the Dash, to be honest.
For me, it's a success now because, look, you can't validate and judge what's going to happen here. How many of these people will continue to come out and support the NWSL, which, by the way, the Dash is going to be on an NWSL game of the week here. That'll be broadcast nationally from BBVA Compass Stadium in the future. But, you know, the thought process here is, okay, And it's very simple. We get these people to sample the product, da-da-da-da-da-da. They get down to the stadium. They have a good time. They see the stadium. They see the team. They get to know some of the women playing on the team. Look, if you get 500 regulars out of that coming back, that to me is a success. That's a big success.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people were impressed by some of these names they hadn't heard of. I mean, I think Sophia Huerta, Vanessa DiBernardo, many of those Chicago players are going to be knocking on the door of the national team in the next few years. And it was entertaining. I think it was a little bit different. There's a little more of the in-stadium PA noise, some of the drums and some of the musical elements you might get in a baseball game or a basketball game. But I thought it was cool. I thought, big crowd, let's make the most of it, and let's, you know, do a little bit of more in-house stuff on the throw-ins and restarts and things like that.
All right, so that was part one, talking to Matt Peterson. And, of course, great to get his insight because he was on site when the Dynamo knocked off the San Jose Earthquakes in San Jose. And then, of course, calling the Houston Dash game with the Chicago Red Stars, which drew 13,000 people to BBVA Compass Stadium. We'll take a break. We'll come back with part two with Matt.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Dynamo All Access, part two now with Matt Peterson as we continue our discussion. Matt Peterson, Dynamo play-by-play man on the radio, right here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM, and has graciously helped host Soccer Matters for me over on ESPN 97.5. Let's switch back to the Dynamo now. So Corey Ash last year, and this is the reality of professional soccer. DeMarcus Beasley signed as a designated player. He becomes the left back. Corey Ash really kind of disappears since that time. And now Corey, who was a two-time All-Star, was turned into a left back by Dominic Kinnear when he was here. I remember the game it happened. It was in New York against the New York Red Bulls against Dane Richards, where Dom Kinnear, I don't know if he put him in the midfield that night or what, but there was a turning point there for Corey Ash where he became a left fullback, and he became the second longest tenured player for the Houston Dynamo, second-round draft pick in 2007. You know, he's high up there on all-time appearances, et cetera, starts. And he's gone, just like that. That's professional soccer. He's now been moved on for general allocation money in a second-round selection in the 2017 MLS Super Draft. He goes to Orlando City with Tally Hall. This is the reality of professional soccer, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the reaction from Dynamo fans has been expected, but I think a little bit surprising. I think many, many fans out there like Corey, as I do, as most Dynamo fans do, and respect what he's done and all he's given. But I think many people that I've read online, and maybe you shouldn't read as many comments as that are out there, but they're thinking he got hard done or thinking that maybe he was, you know, it should have been a bigger return for him given his record. I think the reality is Dynamo had a surplus at left back. Let's be honest. A few years ago, Corey Ash didn't really have any competition there. Mike Tshabala was there 1 year. One year he wasn't. Kofi Sarkodie hasn't had any real right back competition until this year. So it's a position in MLS right now that you kind of have to get by with one. So any team with two, especially at the salary that Corey Ash is making, it's not really realistic in the long term to have that. So I think as soon as DeMarcus Beasley arrived, it was a natural fit to find Corey a new place to play and get him more playing time. And I think Corey's excited. He gets to reunite with Tally Hall. He gets to play in front of 30,000 fans at a club that wants to spend money and wants to win. So I think this was a win for both parties. As you said, second most appearances in Dynamo history. He won an MLS Cup. And I think he, he's a proud Dynamo player forever. But I think this just made too much sense. You see in other sports all the time, veterans get moved on to a better situation.
Yes.
And more fans greet it with, positivity.
Listen, people have to understand, at the end of the day, this is a business. Corey Ash deserves tremendous credit for how he's carved out his career, the type of player he turned himself into, a two-time MLS All-Star, dedication, commitment to the cause here. He did it on and off the field in the community. He deserves monster kudos. I think the tough thing for him is that there really weren't any takers and no deal done, and he kind of had to flounder and wait around a while for something to happen. Certainly was professional in training and all that, but These are the harsh realities of professional soccer, and like anything else, it's timing, it's fit, it's opportunity. And you know what? He's going to go join Tally Hall on a team where he's going to have a real opportunity to get playing time in a market that's absolutely blowing up. I mean, I did a game down there. I couldn't believe it. Orlando City had 40,000 people for the LA Galaxy game. And, I mean, I thought I was in Europe, quite frankly, Matt.
Yeah, and let's be honest. The reality of the situation is the rosters are now at 28. The new CBA says there's 28 players. There used to be allowed 30, so that's two less spots. And with Matt Jordan and Owen Cole looking to bring in new players and improve on last year's record, you need flexibility. So if you want to add new players, something has to give. And if you have a reserve that's not playing, you know, it makes sense. So I think, you know, in Europe, there's not roster limits. In MLS, there is. So you have to find a way to make the pieces work.
All right. You've got a little more information on this than I do. I spent many years in player development in this city, 15 to be exact, maybe even more. But now the Dynamo are going to get that much-coveted USL affiliate. It's going to be in Edinburgh, Texas, so it won't be in Houston. It'll be down in Edinburgh. Talk about the thinking there and just give us some of the details, Matt.
Well, I think you have a very motivated franchise down there that wanted to be involved in USL. They wanted to be affiliated with the Dynamo, just like they are affiliated with the Houston Rockets in the NBA D-League. They're building a 9,400-seat stadium. They're paying for it, and it's going to be the best USL stadium in the league. And the facilities that will come with it, I would assume, would be just as good. It's not ideal in terms of having reserve games and USL games right there at the StubHub Center or in Montreal or Salt Lake like they do in so many places. But I think there are some things to think about in terms of training. I think every road game for the new Rio Grande Valley FC Dynamo that will be in USL next year, they're going to probably fly through Houston. So we might see a hybrid system where maybe they train in Houston the day before, day after every flight, and they can get some of the trainings in Houston. Again, not as ideal as some of the other setups around MLS, but it's going to be a beautiful stadium. It's a new market for fans, and I think they will have opportunities to train in Houston at least a few days a week, especially ahead of road games.
Matt, thank you very much for coming on. Appreciate all the insight, all the information, and have a good call this weekend with RSL. Matt will have the call right here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. The TV call, Eddie Robinson and I on Root Sports. There will be a pre- and post-game show there, as there will with Matt on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. So pick your poison, TV, radio, combination of both, whatever. But tune in and catch the Dynamo against Real Salt Lake. Matt, thank you as always for coming on the program.
Anytime, Glenn. Have a great show.
All right. He's Matt Peterson, Dynamo play-by-play man. We'll take a break here at Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, 7-Up break. Good stuff, Matt.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. We are in celebration mode, the U.S. winning the Women's World Cup for the third time, and without a doubt, there is a wonderful connection here to Houston and the NWSL with the Houston Dash. Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, as we've mentioned throughout the show, Morgan Bryan, all members of this World Cup winning team that have now sort of put a new standard bearer in place here for the U.S., winning the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup in Canada. The perfect time to bring on Houston Dash manager Randy Waldrum, who, by the way, whenever the U.S. job is opened up, well, Randy Waldrum's name always comes off. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, great. What a fantastic night yesterday, and really, really excited about things today.
Well, let's first just get your general impressions of the final and just this U.S. team that really was up for the moment.
Well, you know what? As a coach, it's your dream performance. I mean, everything kind of came together at the right time and, you know, got the fantastic start with Carly scoring a couple of minutes in and then just a few minutes later getting the second one, and you really put Japan on their heels right off the bat. So it was, you know, to me, it was just one of those kind of inspiring performances that people are going to talk about for years and years to come. It's the blueprint was perfect and the players carried everything out to perfection.
you know, the women doing such a wonderful job winning the 99 World Cup. We know the dynamics of the sport, the grassroots level, the college game. So much has changed and forced change from that wonderful effort from all those ladies on that team, the 99ers, as they called them. But was it time now to get a new sort of standard-bearing World Cup win here so that now there's sort of a new reference point for U.S. women's soccer?
Well, I think so. You know, it was 16 years ago when we won it, and a lot's happened in this country since then. I mean, we've seen, you know, MLS really take a strong hold. And, of course, we've gone through three leagues now professionally, and, you know, the growth of youth soccer is still flourishing. So much has changed. I do think it was time. I think Carly, I saw in an interview where she kind of said it best. I think it was they didn't want to win it to put the 99s behind. They wanted to win it because of the time and effort they put into winning it in their careers here. So I think nobody was probably happier than the 99ers to see them win. But as a country, I think we really needed it. And again, you know, that kind of performance is just, going to be hard to match that at any point in time because it really was right from the opening whistle. It was a great, great performance by those young ladies.
Randy, I want to point out, and you know this as well, and I think many people do, but many people may forget, Carly Lloyd was actually getting criticized to a degree by some in the media and some of the fans after the Columbia game and in and around the group games, just as the U.S. women's national team was. And then all of a sudden it clicked for Carly because she got pushed higher up the field. And, of course, a big piece in this was Morgan Bryan. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think you're right. The whole team was criticized, and I was one sitting there wondering why, too. I think we, you know, it's not being in camp, it's hard to second guess, but the outside looking in, I didn't think the formation was right from the beginning. I didn't think Carly was a defensive midfield player and Lauren Holiday, and that's basically both of them kind of had that kind of a defined role. I think we sat back and respected the international competition a little bit too much and defended a little bit lower, and we didn't use the American mentality, which is, you know, in a high pressure and get after things. And I think it changed a couple things, I think, changed that, Glenn. I think one is probably so much scrutiny, you know, throughout the country. I think some of the players probably approached Jill about this as well. And then I think, if you'll remember back, they were still playing out of a 4-4-2 in the playoff round. And a lot of people may not think this, but this could have been a little bit of a turning point because Amy Rodriguez started that game. And I thought that she really did something very well at that time. She really went out and pressed the Chinese back line and created a lot of problems. And I thought the team fed off of that. And up to that point, we really haven't high-pressured and really haven't pressed as a team. And I thought she really brought that to the table, and things started to click a little bit, you know. And then, of course, the next game, obviously they changed the formation and went to adding Morgan Bryan in there, basically because Holiday and Rapinoe had to sit that game. And I think that changed everything. I think people started to see what Morgan Bryan brings to the table. And what she was capable of doing. And once they got into that three-man central midfield, the last two games, they've just been out.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've been trying to say, how do you validate, you know, the scrutiny and that healthy pressure? But, boy, that's a positive thing for the game. And I know you and I talked about this already, but I saw that only as positive after the Columbia game, that U.S. fans were demanding more, and so was the media. And I also say that with the knowledge of sometimes we can commit paralysis by analysis and overanalyzing everything. But I do think at that moment this was significant in this tournament.
I think it was a huge turning point, you know, and I think we've got a much more educated fan out there now than we had 16 years ago. And, you know, and with the advent of social media and the things that are so accessible to us all now, I think it has spurred this big debate throughout the tournament. And, you know, we really weren't great all the way through, you know, and, but, you know, credit to Jill and credit to the players. They found the right formula at the end. And as a coach, if you could have planned it anyway, and I'm not sure this was really planned that way. I think they all would have liked to have played better earlier in the first opening games. But at the end of the day, the team peaked at the right time in the tournament, and that's what you want, you know. And so they eventually got it right. I think there was a couple of things that factored into them getting it right. Maybe some the staff controlled, maybe some happened by accident. I think with Holiday and Rapinoe having to sit, that forced their hand a little bit. But, Glenn, think back. How different would it have been had Megan Klingenberg not cleared that ball off the line against Sweden? You know, and they lose that game and they finish second in the group instead of first in the group. You know, I mean, who knows what kind of path it would have taken. So there were so many moments like that in the World Cup that made this really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Even the Julie Johnston penalty conceded, she could have been sent off, and they were playing against 10 against Germany. So I guess
exactly.
Good fortune's a part of it as well, and finding your game at the right time. But it has been fascinating. And, you know, let's talk about now the local tie here with Carly Lloyd coming back, Megan Klingenberger, who's so good in this tournament, Morgan Bryan. You got all three of them coming back. You take on the Chicago Red Stars on the 12th. I mean, already tickets are swelling. People need to get them over at HoustonDynamo.com. But this local tie is something spectacular for the Dash, for the city of Houston.
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, my phone was blowing up, and I saw all the front office staff yesterday were really jumping on this with the advent of not only the team winning, but how well Carly and the rest of our players have done. And it's my hope, Glenn, now that at least this is one opportunity for us as a city, not only a city of soccer fans, but I think as a city of sports fan, of all sports in general, get out there Sunday evening and welcome these world champions home. You know, it's a once in a lifetime that you have somebody in a city like Houston do something as special as Carly and these three young ladies have done. And my hope is to see that stadium really full. Whether you're Dynamo fans and not Dash fans, or whether you're soccer fans, or you're Houston Rockets or Houston Texans fan or Astro fan, I think if you love sports, this is a great opportunity to get out there Sunday night and really, really see firsthand and show how Houston can welcome that group back. You know, and in light of a parade, I think that's the best way we can do it. And hopefully that will capitalize on that, and it'll be a big turnout for them this weekend.
One last word from you, Randy, on Carly, just getting pushed into that higher position there and just finding her game. Was there something there that just in her mind just said, now, okay, I'm going to release the shackles and just go for it? Because we all know the preparation and the intensity with which she trains and her focus. She didn't have her family there, all of those things. But, you know, you couldn't script this thing any better.
No, and I think with Carly, it was just I think you said it. It was just releasing the shackles a little bit. You know, I think when she had to worry about both sides of the ball so much, it took away from what she does best. And a lot of folks may need to look back to CONCACAF qualifying and remember she really carried us through CONCACAF qualifying as well. She was scoring goals just like this in CONCACAF. And then, you know, early on in this World Cup, because of the role she was playing, I think it just took her out of what she does best. And, you know, fortunately for her, we got her back into a role that, you know, that I think that could see that she's still one of the very best in the world at what she does. And a great, great drive and great competitiveness of this young lady. And can't wait to get her back to the Dash.
Yeah, I bet you can. And back to the topic we were talking about, how things change and how they did in this tournament. That's the way it works sometimes as a coach, right? Some things just happen organically.
Yeah. I mean, it stands out and certain things happen. I can remember winning a national championship at Notre Dame in 2004. And one of the players I was really worried about because she was having some health issues during the year, but she was such a key player. You know, you want to keep playing her. And early on in the season, I know she broke her leg and it ended her season. And in hindsight, the way things were going, that may have been the best thing that could have happened, not for her, obviously, but for our team that year, because it was a real turning point when others had to step up and replace her. And so these things, sometimes they do happen, and they just work out, and call it what you want. You know, we had some good luck along the way, but we all know that there's that in everything we do. You know, you have to have some breaks go your way, but at the same time, you can, you know, those same things happen to you in years that you don't win. And I think the preparation is what makes you make those opportunities happen. And they certainly did it. You know, I sat back, Glenn, I'm thinking with all smiles, and that goal she scored from midfield. I mean, how many of us dream of scoring a goal like that, catching a goalkeeper off the line and scoring from half field in a World Cup, you know, championship game of all things? I mean, just storybook, you know?
Yeah, what a stage to do it on. And then the other thing, what confidence to even try that. Most people wouldn't even have tried it.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Randy, listen, it's going to be a big day, July 12th. It's the Houston Dash, led by Randy Waldrum, their coach, taking on the Chicago Red Stars. Your tickets are over at HoustonDynamo.com. Get down there. Welcome home the World Cup winners. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of Canadian internationals as well who got to the quarterfinals. So get down there. Support Randy and the Houston Dash. Randy, thank you very much, as always.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it, Randy. Thank you very much for coming on the show. That's Randy Waldrum. Let's take a quick break here. A lot more to come here on Dynamo All Access.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud White, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to HoustonDynamo.com. That's where you get your tickets for both the Houston Dynamo and Dash. Bud Light, the official sponsor of the Mexican national team. Bud Light, also the official sponsor of Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. We ended in real style here tonight when the newest Dynamo signings from Nigeria, Rashid Olabiyi, joins us now. Rashid, thank you very much for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Bud.
Well, talk to me a little bit about getting this contract in Major League Soccer and what it means to you personally.
Yeah, I feel very happy and thankful for the contract in East Dynamo. I was very happy because it's not easy for a player from Africa to come out of Dubai to seal a contract like that. But I think I was very excited and happy.
Now, for you to finally get on the field here, this was a significant moment in San Jose and playing a part of the goal there. That also must have been a great moment for you.
Yes, I think it's a great feeling for me to come inside the game and contribute to the second goal. I feel happy. You know, it's not easy for somebody like me, first game in the team. Which I did something like that, you know, it's a great feeling, and I'm happy.
Now, you've been a very successful player in your home country of Nigeria. You were in a Lagos-based Pepsi Football Academy. We'll get to that in a second, but I want you to just take us to the place of the passion for football in Nigeria and, of course, the Super Eagles, but just the sport of soccer in Nigeria and what it means to people.
Yeah, I started from the Pepsi Football Academy in Lagos, which I play from there. I went to Enyimba International of Aba, a professional team in Nigeria, first division, one of the best teams in Nigeria, which I achieved a lot of things there. You know, in there, over there, Enyimba, they are always go for winning. They have a winning mentality, which they want to win all the game. They want to take all the victory. So I think I contribute to their success, which I play in African Champions League, win a lot of league and FA Cup. And I believe also that I can also do that in the Houston Dynamo.
Now, give us a little sense of what the first division is like in Nigeria. Are there big crowds? Is it a lucrative league to play in? Take us into it, because it's not a league we're able to watch on TV here in the United States.
Yes, it's a big league in our country also. You know, when you're talking about Nigeria League, we call it Premier League. It's a big league which everybody is coming out to watch. You know, and my team over there, they have a lot of supporters, which they always support us any game away, home, any game we want to play, they always go with us. So it's also a big team. It's just that you don't have chance to watch the league in the U.S. yet. That is the only problem that is there. But it's a big team, it's a big league in my country, which what I'm thankful for the opportunity for me to leave out the league to move forward. Wish for me to come over here to start my career. And it's a great honor for me.
Now, when you were growing up, did you play the game without adults around a lot? Were you playing in the streets with your friend? I mean, is that where you learned the game initially?
Oh, yes, of course. I started in streets. You know, I was a very bum player when I was very small. My brother used to take me to field to play game with them. So I start from there. From there, they took me to competition. From competition, the coach from Percy Football Academy that was in Lagos, he invited me to the academy to come and join them. So I start playing with the academy, with the youth team. From there, you know, I have a trial in the Nimba, which they asked me to come over, which I joined the professional team immediately when I finished my secondary school. So it's been long that I've been in this game, which I started from when I was very small. So I think and I believe I have the future in the game. I'm still going far.
Now, you represented Nigeria and the Super Eagles at under 17, under 20, under 23. Do you still have ambition one day to play for the full national team of Nigeria?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, figured you would say that. You know that?
Yes, of course. Very soon I'm going to play in national team, inshallah.
How about your favorite Super Eagle of all time? Who is it? Is it J.J. Okocha? Is it Kanu? Amokachi? Who would be your favorite Super Eagle of all time?
As you can see, we have a lot of players in Nigeria, which we youth player we are looking upon. We have Okocha, we have Amokachi, we have Kanu Wako, we have somebody like Mikel Obi. A lot of players, I can't even finish mentioning them. But, you know, I just believe I'm going to go to that position one day. That is my home belief, you know.
Did you have any favorite player you might have modeled your game after?
Yeah, after all, I always want to be myself because you can't compare my own skill with Okocha and Amokachi. But I always looking them then that I'm going to be great like them. So that is my opinion.
How about your thoughts on the quality of play, Rashid, in Major League Soccer in comparison to the Nigerian Premier League?
Yeah. It's a little bit different because this is MLS and it's, everything is different with my country. I feel very okay and I feel very good and a lot of opportunities here to move forward.
What specifically about the way the game is played here might be different from the way the game is played in Nigeria?
Yeah, the game is very different here because they are much faster and they are strong. You have to, you know, 100% fit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's different with Africa.
Is it exciting for you to see players like Liverpool's Steven Gerrard here and, you know, David Villa, formerly of Barcelona? Is it exciting for you to see those types of players and obviously measure yourself against them and play against them?
Yeah, it's a dream come true. If I can play against Steven Gerrard, you know, somebody that I've been watching from my country, watching on TV, you know, I just believe that one day I will be among them. I will be very happy. I'm looking for that day, which I will play against him.
Rashid, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. Congratulations on getting the contract with the Dynamo in Major League Soccer. Your first minutes, and we wish you great success in the future. Thank you for coming on the program, Rashid.
It's my pleasure. You're really welcome.
Okay, that's Rashid Olabiyi, the new Dynamo signing from Nigeria. And we have a lot of Nigerian soccer supporters here in Houston, so come on out and see Rashid. We will wrap it up here tonight. That will do it. A great way to end it tonight with new Nigerian signing Rashid Olabiyi. We will call it a night. For Michael Carroll, my producer, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night, everybody.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.